Okay, well, good morning. This is one of the old ladies. She was talking about different old ladies, different ages and everything. Well, this, you get the old lady. So, okay, let's just pray first. Okay, Lord, we just thank you for this morning, and we just thank you, Lord, for all these lovely ladies here today. We know that their heart is after you, Lord, and we just pray that you would give us understanding of your word today. And anything that would be said would be your words, Lord, your truth. We love your truth, Lord. We love your word. We thank you for each one of these ladies, and we pray a blessing on their families. And anyone that needs healed, we pray a healing touch now from the Lord. And we thank you now, Lord, and order my words as I give them to you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, well, I've written some things down, and I'm going to kind of keep right with those so I can keep my mind straight of what I'm going to say. So, well, first off, of course, surrender is our theme. So when they asked me to do this, I thought, well, I'm going to just look up. This is the way I do things. I've got to study it a little bit so I can pick out what I want to say. So I'm going to just give you some things that went through my mind at first. What does surrender mean? Now, we probably, how many of us are in here? We probably have that many different meanings. Everybody right now in your mind, when you start to think about surrender, I don't know about you, but I think this is probably true for all of us. When we talk about surrender, that gets down to serious business. And we don't start looking around and, oh, surrender, you know. I surrender my hairspray, you know. I had a friend in high school, and I had gone to school with her all 12 years. And she being a Catholic, she was a good Catholic, and she was my one best friend. And at Lenten season, and every spring, she would have to give up something, so surrender something. And so that's why I said hairspray, because the one year I just thought, this is really funny, because she says, Betty, I'm giving up hairspray for Lent. So I think when we now think of surrender, though, we aren't thinking of things like that. We, everyone has walked with the Lord probably long enough that you immediately kind of go inward. Lord, what are you doing in my heart, in my whole being, my soul? What do you want of me? So just a couple of the, just a simple definitions of surrender would mean to give up oneself into the power of another. To yield to any influence of power, any influence that could be bad or good when we give ourselves to something. And then the same thing almost, the act of yielding or resigning one's person into the power of another. The surrender of a right. I have my own rights. No, we don't. Not when we want our rights to be right with the Lord. In this old dictionary, Webster dictionary I have at home, it's an 1890 from my grandfather that my grandfather taught in a one-room schoolhouse, and he gave me his big, fat Webster dictionary. And a man by the name of Burke, his last name was Burke, he helped him write this, evidently, because he wrote of surrender. He made a statement like this, that he may secure some liberty, he makes a surrender. I thought that was interesting, that he may secure some liberty, he makes a surrender in the trust of the whole of it. And so we can assume that the surrender to God sets us free. There's a freedom that comes. And freedom from what? Well, everybody has something different. And, you know, I would think that most of us have a whole load of stuff that we can think of, you know, that. So, what advantages are there in surrender? Well, I just wrote a couple things down, and everyone, again, This is not new stuff. This is stuff that we've all gone through. A rest and a freedom from what? From indecision and inner struggles. And we've all had times when we struggled with something and finally, okay, God, whatever. And isn't there a rest and a relief and a release from that struggle? I looked into, too, the hymn, I Surrender All, was a special thing to me through my life. But I also do not want to take anything from the new song, I Surrender. I love that, and I think whoever wrote that is probably standing on the shoulders of the guy that wrote the hymn, because they go, that's really, I love it. The name of the guy was J.D. Deventer. It's the name of the guy who wrote this hymn. And the phrase that he used, just to tell you a little bit, he was a school teacher, I think in Pennsylvania even, at the end of the 1800s. And he loved being a school teacher, but different ones in his church and stuff started saying, are you sure you don't want to be a evangelist or something like that, you know? And he really was pondering that in his heart already. And so he wrestled for about 5 years, back and forth, God, what do I do? What do I do? And after 5 years, he finally thought, I can't do this anymore. God, I surrender. You've got me, whatever. And so he surrendered and became an evangelist and a songwriter. And his one phrase that he said was really, he says, a new day was ushered into my life. A whole new day was ushered in. And he ended up writing over 100 hymns. So another thing that surrender can help us to do is it can help us discover deep down God-given talents, hidden talents that are in us that we had never realized before, just like this gentleman that wrote that I Surrender. He had no clue that he could ever write a song. But when he gave it to the Lord, there must have been in God's plan for his life that he was just not letting be surrendered. So it can help us discover deep down God-given talents that were hidden and not realized before. There's also, as you know, there's a peace and a rest in casting our cares upon him. And the verse, casting your cares upon him because he cares for you, and there's a rest to it. I often picture, sometimes at nighttime before I go to bed, before I go to sleep, I just think of all these different things. You know, with 6 children, you got quite a few different things that you can pray for. And I just can picture myself taking a great big rock, and I thought, okay, God, it's coming. And roll it onto him, you know, cast it all onto him. Take it, God, I can't do it. And then when you honestly feel, okay, God, I can picture him, thank you, I can handle this. And then, good night, world. And rest in that. So that rest in completely surrendering things to him. Okay, so in my own life now, I feel like many times, and you guys can all say the same thing, many times I have completely, whatever completely means at that stage, I have completely surrendered to God. Was it sincere or not? Did it hold for the rest of my life until now? Or is surrender an ongoing process that our Father's love and patience takes us on? I can even remember back to the first time that I had an encounter with this song and feeling this. Of course, I was gave my heart to Jesus and was baptized at a very young age, but it really started to mean something to me when I was about 13 or 14. And I can remember at a meeting that we were at, a church meeting, and the minister was really preaching a good word to our hearts. And I can remember God really dealing with me. And I was sitting towards the back a little bit, and I thought, the way he was presenting it and God working in my heart, I just started to cry. And I thought, God, this whole thing, this whole life is yours. I can remember that, and my tears and everything, you know. And I thought, it's really real to me still. But I can remember that then I thought, my young life then, you know, what did I have to surrender? I had quite a bit, probably. But whatever I had, I thought, God, take this. I'm going to be yours the rest of my life. The rest of my life, I'm going to be yours. And so that's why surrender means something. But of course, back then, I couldn't surrender my children. I couldn't surrender different things in my whole life up till now, 68 years later. So, I pick it up and I lay it down. Pick it up and lay it down. That's probably we've all experienced that, if you're normal. Does God get impatient with us? Like, you know, okay, let's do this over again. Here we go. You know, hit that rock, you know. But I'll tell you right now, not as much as we ourselves get impatient with us. You know, you've always probably, all of us have felt, God, here I go again. You know, lay it down, pick it up, a whole crazy cycle. You know how many times God is willing to forgive us in one day? The same time that he required us to forgive each other. 7 times 70? I mean, you know how many times that would have to be? An hour. You know. And our precious, patient Heavenly Father. So precious. I am so thankful for God's love. So thankful for God's love. And only our only strength then really is in his strength. If we ever get that straight, huh? His strength. Now when we talk about surrender, and then we know the phrase, just let it go. You know, you have a little something with somebody or this here or that, and you really mean it though. Just let it go. Don't worry about it, let it go. Just let it go and don't, so, what's the difference between letting it go and surrendering? Is there a difference? Well, that's something to think about, isn't it? Have you ever totally surrendered? And this is kind of the same thing. And then discovered that there are things still in your life to be surrendered. One time when I was thinking, God, what do I do? I keep, you know, different things up through the years. Okay, God, here I am again. I can remember that I heard in my spirit, and I believe it was God saying this to me, open up pieces of your heart that you are holding too close. And I thought, I'm holding too close. I've given you my heart, you know. And he says, no, there's things in your heart that you're holding on to too close. Open up those pieces in your heart. At another time, and I've written these down different times through the years, so I was looking through some of these, and I thought, whoa. So another time, I was going through something about just surrendering to God, and he said, fear not the stripping, for it will cause you to bloom into the life that I have for you and the plan that I have for you. Don't fear getting stripped of different things, because I'm doing something to let you see what beauty is in you. And God sees the beauty that is in each one of us. And I have a hard time with that, because different times have grown up and I think, I don't even like myself. I don't even like myself, you know, and this and that and different things that, and God says, I see the beauty in you. I see it, but you've got to take some of the pieces that you're holding so tight in your heart and surrender them. So surrender, it seems, is a way of life for us Christians. We need to live life to fulfill God's plan and purpose in our lives, though. You know, we're so used to hearing, and rightly so, about fighting the good fight of faith and standing strong, and we are soldiers of the cross. And those are all good things and true things. But a lot of times when God says things in the Bible, there's a two-sidedness to it. And I think that's where some people in the world, not knowing about this, would kind of, what's he doing, saying two different things. But he just has two sides to help us understand things. And so he also says, when we are weak, we are strong. So meaning him in us, of course, we know that. But we have to render over. That's the French meaning. If we go back to the meaning of surrender in the dictionary, surrender means sur is over and render is render. So to render over something means to give over something. So we have to render over our strengths until we might feel very weak and vulnerable in our own selves. So letting go of our strength could also include maybe the anointing that God's put on us sometimes, or gifts that we feel that, or gifts and talents that we have that God has given us, but sometimes we can go a little bit and think, I can handle this now, you know. It's just, that's a very good opportunity for that to happen. We feel like we almost need these talents now and these gifts and everything. We need to rely on those instead of God himself. We need to be strong for God. And that can get a little mixed up a little bit, and God might have to strip us. And okay, we're back to surrender all again. You know, sometimes young teenagers will do that. They'll get where they can know pretty good. They're, you know, 13, 14, 15. Hey, I'm moms and dad are not getting quite as smart as they used to be, and I'm getting a little bit smarter. And you probably all have heard this, mom, don't worry about it, I can do it. Mom, quit telling me, I know. And then the next morning that when they get out of bed is, mom, will you take my hand, please? I can't even walk across the table, across the room. And so there's that back and forth thing that they also, you know, they start depending on their strength, and that's what we can do. God has given us our really own strength. It's his strength. Sometimes he just tests us, though, to see if we will relinquish all to him, even the things he's given us. My gifts, will you give them back to me? I won't know what to do then, God. He says, yeah, exactly, because I'm going to help you know, and then you'll know it's me doing it. So, okay, so I'll just say this one more time. Our weakness is our strength then, and the result is God's strength being seen. Complete surrender is an opportunity for God to work wonders in you. You know, it's completely impossible. And you've heard the phrase, that's where God begins. Well, that's very true. So, that part. And now we're going to talk about what I think is a very special type and shadow, kind of to help us understand surrender. And what I want you all to do first is take a real deep, good breath, as deep as you can do, and let it out. Doesn't that feel good? Do it one more time. Oh, that feels good. And I think it feels good to all the cells in our body, too, because it's getting rid of the stuff, the waste particles in our cells that the breathing lets out. Okay, now this time, though, I want you to all take a real deep breath, as deep as you can go, and hold it. Just hold it for a couple seconds. And then when I opened my hands, let it out all the way, 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 as far deep down as you can. And then see what happens next. Okay, so let's try that. Okay, everybody, real deep breath. All the way out, all the way, all the way. Keep breathing out, 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 out. Okay. Now, okay, now what happened right after that? When you got done, what did you do then? You took a deep breath back again, didn't you? Yeah, it clears things out, doesn't it? So, that's kind of, I think, the just remembering that now. And I think God, you know, breathing is the most important thing to us, right? Our natural body is breathing. And I think God made it that way. That's one I would, there, in my opinion, I think that is probably one, if not the only, the main important type and shadow in our human body that God can teach us about surrender. And he made that so important, and I think that's so important that we learn to get rid of our old nature, our old things, all the waste, all the junk, and then we breathe in. And if we're, you know, there's pollution, I know, but that's supposed to be nice, fresh, new oxygen. Get rid of the carbon dioxide, all the waste, and then breathe in. And I think that's God saying, this is so, so important to me, that you get rid of the old nature. And then it's with us all the time. If we keep remembering, I'm breathing, that means God wants me to keep on transferring and exchanging myself for his self into me. So I think that's something that you can, you know, Lord, remind us every day when we're walking around and doing things and everything. Oh, I can breathe. I don't know if you've ever choked on anything or something for a couple seconds or even a little bit and you haven't been able to quite catch your breath. Boy, that feels good to go. You know, that really, it's a good thing. So, let's see here, what is next? So I think that the breathing is helping us to understand letting go or surrendering our old sinful nature, our selfish ways, in exchange for the pure holiness of God. You know how good it is when you go out in a nice, after it's a nice soft rain and the air is so fresh. How good does that feel to our whole body? Our cells are probably inside saying, yay, yay. So, you know, even the cells in our body, though, each of them have so much going on. Each tiny cell we can't even see, but there's an exchange, an exchange, an exchange always. The waste products, you go into the bloodstream. That's why the blood flows through us to keep and up into the lungs so we can breathe out that. So I think that breathing is the most important principle that he wants us to grasp, letting go of, like I said, letting go of the old nature and letting God's holiness and his peace and his joy in us. So I want to make sure I have that all that I want to say there. So now into when they asked me to do this, I thought, Lord, show me, give me something fresh to say that will mean something. So this is kind of for married people, but anyone who has a good friend that you depend on and you're close to, and we all have had close relationships with different people. And it can get a little bit, you know, if you get to know each other really good, oh, they're not really perfect. So a fresh example of rendering over, we can call it. That, I don't know if that sounds any nicer than surrender or not, but or letting it go. So God teaches us through our marriages, right? our close friendship. And so my husband Bill and I, we love each other very, very much. And we've been really good friends since we were about 4 or 5 years old. We grew up as neighbors. And so I've known his voice since I was 5 years old. And we got a lot of miles together. Matter of fact, on our fireplace mantle, this is my latest little thing I put up. And this here's a little sign that just says, loved you once, love you still, always have and always will. So I love this, and I love my Bill. But you know what, believe it or not, sometimes there can just be something in our communication or something that, I mean, this summer it's going to be 48 years, but we still are working on things. I'm kind of embarrassed to say that, but it's true. So, but before I say any more about that right now, I just have this one thing that I want to read to you, this little story. And then we're going to talk about communication with our close friends. A man was sitting on the edge of a bed, observing his wife, turning back and forth, looking at herself in the mirror. Since her birthday was not far off, he asked what she'd like to have for her birthday. "I'd like to be 6 again," she replied, still looking in the mirror, you know, probably there. On the morning of her birthday, he arose early, made her a nice big bowl of Lucky Charms. Then he took her to Six Flags theme park. What a day. He put her on every ride, the death slide, the wall of fear, the screaming monster roller coaster, everything there was. He really loved her. 5 hours later, they staggered out of the theme park. Her head was reeling and her stomach felt upside down. Then he took her to McDonald's, where he ordered her a Happy Meal with extra fries and a chocolate shake. Nah, I don't like chocolate, but that was what she liked. Then it was off to a movie, popcorn and soda pop, and her favorite candy, M&Ms. What a fabulous adventure. Sounds kind of good, doesn't it? Okay, finally, she wobbled home with her husband and collapsed in the bed, totally exhausted. He leaned over his wife with a big smile and lovingly said, "Well, dear, what was it like being 6 again?" Her eyes slowly opened and her expression suddenly changed. She said, "I meant my dress size, you idiot." So I guess the moral of that story is, even when a man is listening, he may get the wrong opinion of what you said. He might not get it right. He's going to get it wrong. So we have to watch how we say things to our men. I thought that was so funny. My husband and I read that together, and we just laughed and laughed. We thought, oh my goodness, that's about, you know, we're all laughing because we know what that is. So, okay, now back on to the more serious thing here now. Like I was saying, sometimes, even with our husbands, and we just, and even close friends, I'm talking both ways, it gets to the point where there are, if you're honest, sometimes you don't stop loving each other, but you just don't like each other. You know, I've told that to Bill sometimes. "Honey, I just don't like you right now. Just get away from me. You know, just get away from me. I don't like you right now. But I'm going to love you forever, and I'm going to stay with you forever. But right now, just go someplace." I don't know if you've ever done that or felt like doing that. Of course, it's get so that it's not really pretty, and it's a serious thing, doesn't it? Probably every one of us, if we were asked, and don't raise your hands, but if there's a point in time, some with your husbands or friends, that it gets to a point, the stress of it and everything is, I hate it. I hate any kind of friction between us. It's a hard thing. So I experienced that too. And we kind of got into our mode, though, that we can forgive quickly and apologize. Oh, I'm sorry. Forgive me, I'm sorry. And I used to make my husband, if we lay in bed at night and we talk about some things, and I said, you never said I forgive you about that. Tell me I forgive you. Say that to me. He says, he looked at me, go to sleep. Said, no, you tell me you forgive me first. You know, I forgive you. Okay, now go to sleep. You know, it's done. So, but us women are, we have to have things like that, don't we? I had that down. I had to, I apologize, and please forgive me. And we are very refined in how we can manipulate our husbands, or anyone close to us. We get to a point where we can manipulate them. So one day, God allowed me to come to a place of total helplessness with this. And I'm, like I said, I'm embarrassed to say this even at 68 years old. We've been all this time, but some things you hold on to, piece of your heart. You don't let it go. You don't let things happen. So, well, just for a little example, things that we, get to me. It was like Bill loves to do work with wood, chopping wood, and wood for the, we have an outdoor furnace that he has the heat piped in under the ground, and anyhow it keeps our house nice and warm, and we don't have to buy so much oil that we usually do. So he will go out and say, he has this habit of saying, well, I'm going to go out and do the fire, throw some wood on the fire. And I've learned that means 2 hours later he's going to come in. He's going to go out there and do that. So so he would do that, and this one day he did that, and I thought, and of course I'm in there, oh, I have my own time and I'm just so happy now. No, I start, he's going to go out there for 2 hours. I know he is. Why didn't he just say that? Why is he lying to me? That kind of a thing. And then at the same time, I thought, God, help me, Jesus, But I'm holding on to that because I thought, oh, I've got to, enough religion in me, I can put this on when he comes in. So he was, I was having my little own time, and by the time he got back in, I had gone through a little struggles, and I said, oh, honey, have you had a nice time out there by yourself and the great outdoors and just having a really good time? I'm so happy you had a good time out there. All by yourself while I'm in here by myself. Poor me, and I don't know where you went for sure, just kind of a thing. Without me, And so I was so religiously ready for him, Bless you, Of course, he was not stupid. He got the punchline, because he's used to that here, and every once in a while I will, but there's a little jag right into it, Oh, and of course he got the punchline and he gave one back, of course. But it was not as nicely put as mine, so. After hours of not even, you go in your room, I'll go in my room, we're not going to talk, we're not going to do it, At least it doesn't, it's not days anymore, it's only hours. He would come and apologize, and he would honestly say, I'm sorry, I just got into doing it and everything, and I didn't realize the time and blah, 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 you know. And by then I was very exhausted too and stressed out about the whole dumb thing. And so I would say, you know, and I really meant it, I said, I forgive you. And we would forget about it, but till the next time. So one day, the same kind of situation was happening. I don't even remember exactly what it was, but it was enough thing that, and I had enough other things going in my life right then too, in my mind and everything. And this whole thing, he was outside, and this whole thing started to really get at me again. And I thought, I thought, oh man, what do I do? This thing is driving me crazy. I'm gonna go out there and choke him, you know. That kind of a crazy thing. And I just thought, God, I cannot do this. I thought, I can't keep doing this to him. So I just really prayed, you know, and it was God doing this to me, because I had prayed a few weeks before that, off and on. I'd pray, God, I want to go farther in you. I need to learn more about you. I need to know how to walk in you. Teach me, Holy Spirit, teach me. Every morning I would pray that. Work through me today and teach me how to be more intimate with you, how to be more one with you, Father. So as I surrendered it completely then, I thought, God, show me what I'm doing. Show me what I'm doing. What I don't care about Bill right now. Show me. I can't keep doing this stress. I cannot keep doing this. And what I heard him say again to me was, open up your heart. Open up those pieces of your heart that you're holding too close. And I already knew that he had spoke to me that some different times before, but I had to control Bill that way. I had to manipulate him a little bit, and he was feeling it. He could feel it. And I knew that I couldn't change Bill, and that was not my business. We can't change each other as much as we would like to and make a big mess of it, of course. So God said to me, he said, you are being manipulative and deceptive in your interaction with Bill. Surprise that. Causing this whole situation to happen again and again. Pretty close even to witchcraft, right? Controlling. And I thought, whoa, wow, you know. But I knew God was right. I knew he was right. And he allowed me to see very clearly into my heart. And I even remembered a few times, and I thought, yeah, you just got to get that one little dumb word in there to make him feel defensive, and then you shut him down. And what's wrong with our communication? You never talk to me, blah, 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 you know. It was not pretty. I had, through the years, surrendered to God and sincerely meant it. But God is so faithful, isn't he, to us? I understood exactly what he was revealing to me. And my next thing, when I got through this and was understanding, I thought, I need to share this with Bill. And so I waited for the right time and sat down and I said, honey, I've got to share this with you. I said, this is a crazy thing that we've been doing all these years, because it goes the same dumb cycle. And I said, I won't apologize to you. I said, it's me. I said, I don't know what God's working in you for sure, but I said, God's got you. And you and God are doing your thing, and I have to do this, that I have to tell you this. And I shared it all with him. And also at the same time, I surrendered I thought, okay, God, I will not try to control him. I surrender that to you. I surrender him to you. You love him more than I can even think of loving him too. So It was a rendering over. Okay, God, do it. So I did tell him that. And I just wrote this down. I had been dealt with by my loving Father and received grace and forgiveness. Lord, I am so sorry. I am so sorry. Thank you, Lord, for showing me this. Because I really didn't. I think I saw a wisp of it, but I didn't see it so clearly. And so I said, thank you, Father. And when I did tell Bill, he just looked at me, you know, kind of like, wow. But he also knew what I was talking about. And he had not understood that, how that was happening with him, because it would just make him, you know, I have to do something back to hold on here. So we reached a new level of understanding, though, that we had not had in 47 years. Bill changed, too. Because every time now, when I start feeling that thing, I thought, you bugger off. You are not in me anymore. I will love this man, and I will not have any of that. And you know what? He's starting to open up to me and talk to me. He's not, you know, okay, here we go again, you know, but he not even understanding how it was working him. So, and we're teaching each other how to say things. I'm free now to be able to say, honey, if you would have said it this way, it wouldn't have been quite, I could understand it a little better. And he's starting to tell me, well, why don't you say it like this instead of blah, 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 you know? And so, okay, I will do that. And he's saying it too. Okay, I will do that. And it's bringing a whole another level of our marriage, our love for each other. But it had to take the crazy letting it go and surrendering it. Surrendering it. So that was one thing about surrender. And in a summary now, I'm almost done here. Just a couple thoughts here. Surrender is just actually an exchange process that happens with God all through our lives. Exchange, just like we're breathing. But it's a good deal. It's a good deal. You know, after I had that with Bill and everything, and I thought, oh, man, and I don't have that geared up stuff that I thought, I don't need that anymore. You know, that's enough years. rendering over the nasty stuff in us for a rest and peace that passes all understanding as we are one with our Father and as we develop a confidence in His strength. His strength. There will never, never be a shortage of the blood of Jesus. You know that forgiveness is a given. It is always, always available. And it's just like another thing in our body, the blood that flows through us constantly. You know, it doesn't stop when it, and then, okay, wait for the cells to need cleansing, and then we'll go again. So I thought about that, you know, and we always think, well, we'll go to God and then ask forgiveness, and then we have to go. But that forgiveness, that blood of Jesus that is in us now as we accept Him, that keeps flowing, constantly cleansing. So the blood of Jesus, as we receive Him in our heart, that forgiveness keeps flowing. Availability for opportunity for forgiveness keeps flowing. It doesn't stop. And isn't that wonderful? But remember, open up the pieces of your heart that you are holding too close. And this here is also another thing I wrote down one time, is when you make a choice to follow my leading, you have no idea of how much strength and my love can pour through you, you will be amazed and the joy will come too. So, thank you.